Okay, our first reading this morning comes from Leviticus 19, verses 13 through 17. So listen for the word of God. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render any unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. And you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And our second reading comes from Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I've been wondering this week what Fred Rogers would say if he could speak to the challenges of our time. He was arguably one of the most well-known clergy of the late 20th century, a Presbyterian minister who didn't wear a collar but a sweater, who didn't serve a traditional church but a congregation of children who gathered around the TV each day to be part of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Those children are grown now. Maybe some of you are among that number. But their lives have been shaped, at least in part, by the simple message with which Mr. Rogers began each program. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood ran for 895 episodes, encouraging kindness and compassion and respect, and also taking on difficult topics like war and divorce and death and fear, topics about which children worry but are often silent. Shaped by his Christian faith, Mr. Rogers saw the image of Christ in all people, and so he treated all people, including the youngest, with respect. He took seriously Jesus' commandment that we love God with all our heart and soul and mind, and then that we love our neighbor as ourselves. We spoke last week about what it looks like to love God with the agape love that God has shown us. Not a feeling, but committed love in action. Love that demands all that we are as we walk in the way and in the spirit of Jesus. But the commandment to love God was just the first part of Jesus' answer when the rule-keeping Pharisees asked him about the commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, Jesus said. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So today, as I promised you last week, I want to unpack the second part of Jesus' answer. What does it mean to love our neighbors as ourselves? And who are our neighbors? Mr. Rogers answered the question this way. They're the people that you meet when you're walking down the street. They're the people that you meet each day. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Every day we encounter people at the grocery store or at work or simply walking down the street, and each person we encounter is our neighbor. But you know, the Hebrew scriptures didn't use the word neighbor that way. Hebrew texts distinguish neighbors, other Israelites, especially those of one's own tribe, from aliens, foreigners, or immigrants who lived among the Israelites, and enemies. Neighbors were to be treated with respect, and aliens were to be treated as if they were neighbors, but enemies were to be shunned or even slaughtered. That's why Jesus' teaching about neighbors was so shocking. In a story that I was going to say would probably be familiar to you, and now since the children's message is totally familiar to you, Jesus was asked by a lawyer what he needed to do to receive eternal life. And he responded, as we now would expect, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But then the lawyer asked a follow-up question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered with that parable that we have come to know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho along a dangerous stretch of road was attacked by robbers who left him for dead. Then three other travelers happened by. The first was a priest who saw the injured man and then crossed the road in order to avoid him. The second was a religious leader who did the very same thing. The third was a Samaritan who saw the man and took pity on him, getting him the medical care that he needed and saving his life. Which of these three men do you think was a neighbor to the injured man? Jesus asked the lawyer. The one who showed him mercy, the lawyer replied. In other words, the Samaritan. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now, we're so familiar with this story that while we might find it surprising that the two religious leaders were so callous toward the needs of the injured man, while the third passerby helped him, we hardly find it shocking. But Jesus was upending the notion that enemies were to be shunned or even slaughtered. Because the hero of the story, the Samaritan, was considered by religious Jews of the time to be the enemy. There was a long history of animosity toward the Samaritans, who were considered unholy. Good Jews of the time had nothing to do with Samaritans. But Jesus made it clear that the Samaritan, the enemy, was not someone to shun or slaughter, but was rather the neighbor we are called to love. In the polarized times in which we live, it's not difficult to identify those we may consider as enemy. We probably don't use that word, but I think most of us have a person or a group of people that we consider our adversaries, folks whose worldview is different from ours, folks we find threatening to our way of life, or our religion, or our economic security, or our freedom. And Jesus says that they too are our neighbors. Love them like you love yourself. Love yourself. You are made in God's image and you are of eternal worth. So it's right and even holy to love, to value yourself. But the commandment to love our neighbor as ourself is not conditional on our self-esteem. If love is all about feelings, we're in trouble. Some days we feel pretty good about ourselves. Other days we're filled with self-loathing. But as we've seen, agape love isn't about feelings, but about action. The question before us is not how do we feel about ourselves, but how do we behave toward ourselves? Do we make sure that we have food to sustain our bodies? Do we have shelter to keep us safe from the elements? Do we go to the doctor to maintain our health? Do we try to get enough sleep? Do we make time for leisure? Do we come to church to worship God and to connect with the community of faith? If the answer to these questions is yes, then we do indeed show agape love toward ourselves. For the most part, even on days we aren't feeling a lot of self-love, we manage to do all the things that we need to do in order to survive. And maybe that's the point. God commands us to ensure that our neighbors have the things they need in order to survive. Are our neighbors hungry or without shelter? Are they unable to get the medical care that they need? Are they unable to get a job that pays a living wage or the sleep that they require, let alone leisure time? Are they disconnected from the faith community? Then loving them means working on their behalf to ensure that they have the same life essentials that we enjoy. That, of course, is quite difficult because issues of hunger and housing and medical care are societal changes that typically go beyond our own individual ability to address. But we are not alone in this Christian journey. We walk with one another, and together we can make a difference in the life of our neighbors. But it isn't just our neighbors who benefit from our love. As we engage with our neighbors, all of them, wherever we meet them, whatever their circumstances or ours, our own lives are enriched. Because while the story of the Good Samaritan is a reminder that we need to be good neighbors to others, like the Samaritan was, it's also true that we are sometimes the beaten down person on the side of the road, in need of the care of our neighbors. That's what it means to be in community. We are neighbors, and we need neighbors and we have neighbors. Some of our neighbors are much like us. Some are very different. Some share our political views, others do not. Some share our religious faith, and others experience God in different ways. Some root for the Ohio State University, and others are loyal to that school up north. They are all our neighbors, and we are theirs. Mr. Rogers used to end his broadcast with this little song. I'll be back when the day is new, and I'll have more ideas for you. And you'll have things you want to talk about. I will too. If it were only that easy, if it were only that easy to share our ideas, to talk about the things that excite or frighten or puzzle us with our neighbors, all of our neighbors with different political and religious and socioeconomic stripes. One thing that's become quite clear in the last few years is that most of us live in bubbles of folks who think pretty much like we do. We feel free to share what we are thinking with folks we know will agree with us, but we fear difficult conversations with those who hold, or those we think hold, opposing views. But I wonder if one of the things it means to love our neighbors with agape love is to find ways to engage them in respectful and even difficult conversation. I wonder if those of us who walk in the way and in the Spirit of Jesus could be models of this kind of self-giving, vulnerable love that honors the image of God in all people. Like we said last week, loving God with all we've got, our hearts and souls and minds, isn't always easy. Neither is loving our neighbors as ourselves. But somehow, as Jesus taught, they all come together when we obey this greatest commandment. When we love our neighbors with agape love, our love for God and love for self come into focus. A little poem sums it up this way. I sought my soul, and my soul I could not see. I sought my God, and God eluded me. I sought my neighbor, and found all three. Now, I can't be sure what Mr. Rogers would say to us today if he were standing in this pulpit, but I am sure what Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Amen.